So I wanted to introduce my guest, and our topic today is gut intuition. My guest today is Imara. She's top-ranked by the book 100 Top Psychics in America. Imara specializes in intuitive business consulting, yet is also known as an inspiring life coach. And across various media as an entertaining, motivational speaker. Possessing a degree in economics plus an MBA from the prestigious Northwestern University, having studied international economics, political studies at the Selective L'Institut d'Etudes Politiques, testing my French there, and having made her mark in blue chip corporations before she was 30. Imara is no ordinary psychic. Having the visionary talent of an achiever born with intuitive abilities and 25 years as a holistic practitioner, Imara is no ordinary business advisor. Creating paradigm shifts is what my practice is all about, says Imara. She has spent over two decades doing exactly that through consultations, coaching, hypnotic regressions, and healing energy work. A unique combination of intelligence, intuition, integrity is Imara's hallmark. Whether you are a CEO or a New Age seeker, Imara will provide you with amazingly incisive, straight-to-the-heart insight while empowering you to break free of obstacles and discover the gifts of your own experience. Imara's website is thewisdomlight.com. You can contact her by phone at 303-575-1100 or email her at imara@thewisdomlight.com. Welcome, Imara.
Hello, Regina, and congratulations on your show. I am so honored to be part of this inaugural session.
Well, thank you so much. It was actually a pretty easy choice for me to have you on the show since we have such a nice long history together. So I don't know if you quite recall, so we've known each other for about 12 years now, and you were actually one of the first people I met when I moved here to Colorado. And I came to you for a psychic reading as I was getting my life started here in Colorado. And one of the first things you had told me was that I wasn't going to be able to move to the mountains, which was part of the reason I wanted to move here. And what you had told me was, well, no, it's not time to move to the mountains now. It's time to build your life here, so you need to stay in town. I went, oh, no.
Well, you know me. I'm going to tell you what is the truth and what you need to hear, not necessarily what you want to hear, but in the long run, it worked out, right?
It most certainly did, because you were the person who introduced me to Reiki, the alternative healing method. So I took my Reiki classes with you, you know, continued to do healing sessions with you. And then, of course, as you know, 6 years ago, you married my husband, Rob, and I. So I think we have a pretty awesome relationship.
Pretty wonderful, long, amazing to think it's been 12 years, and diverse business consulting and healing development and culminating with you marrying the love of your life. What a wonderful story. And now, I shouldn't say culminating with your wonderful radio show.
Yes, exactly. It really has been quite a journey to getting here to this point.
I laughed when you introduced yourself and said, if anyone had said to you 10 years ago you would be doing this, I had to stifle the laugh because I remember your corporate self that you were just emerging from and still involved in, just as I was once a corporate self. And I just had a laugh saying, oh, I could have just heard your response if someone had said you'd be doing this, let alone doing it publicly.
Exactly. So you know what? It's already time to take a break. I am speaking with Amara, and when we come back, we'll be talking about intuition and is it really true? You can learn more about Amara's services at thewisdomlight.com, and we'll be back after the break. Welcome back, and we're talking with Amara today, and we are starting to talk about intuition. So what is it? Do we all have it? Do we listen to it? Do we not listen to it? So, Amara, you're an expert in this area of intuition. So tell us your feeling. What is intuition, and do we all have it?
I believe that intuition is exactly as some have named it, the sixth sense. And it is often referred to jokingly or surreptitiously as the sixth sense, but sadly to me, because we use our other five senses and we have we have learned to ignore our sixth sense, and it is meant for us to use. We're given four limbs when we're born. We're meant to use four limbs. If we don't, and we choose, it would be like choosing not to use one of your arms, which would make life more difficult, more restrictive, even dangerous. So having your intuition, having that sixth sense, the ability to tap into that which is unseen and to pull or glean information, whether you want to use the word the cosmos, whether you want to use the word the divine, is critically important for us to be at peace in our lives, to make the right decisions and be successful. But it is just another sense. It is not some weird, strange phenomena that exists with aliens. We are born with it, yes, absolutely. Some more than others, and some less than others, just like any other talent or gift or strength or ability.
Okay. So is intuition the same then as that gut instinct that we hear people talk about?
You know, I often use the word gut instinct or shoot from the hip feeling because generally, especially in the West, we can relate to that. And especially men can relate to that. You know, intuition has been ascribed to being a feminine quality. And most men don't want to be told they have feminine qualities or to develop them. So gut instinct, shooting from the hip, that feeling, you know, in the gut is the same good way to describe it. I don't think it comes from your gut. I think it comes from your neurological function and your heart and your soul together. I think it's a critical component of genius. I think that most geniuses, the difference between genius and just high intelligence, in my observation, is often that extra sense, that ability to intuit, to glean, to be a visionary, to see things others can't see that defy logic, that defy deductive reasoning. Steve Jobs, as I used to know him, more commonly known as Steve Jobs today, perfect time for us to mention his genius. Obviously a highly intuitive ability. Anyone that comes up with those kinds of visions, those kinds of ideas that seem to be pulled out of thin air. Gene Roddenberry, another great visionary, very intuitive, saw pictures and visions of things that people could have thought he was crazy for. Albert Einstein is famous for having gotten the theory of relativity through a dream and other experiences that he very much acknowledged that were not part of logical deductive reasoning or figuring a formula out on a blackboard, but very much a part of the intuitive sixth sense, hypersensitivity to listening, hypersensitivity to feeling information, data, input, and coming up with a result.
Those are really great examples. I was thinking about Steve Jobs, too, when you mentioned him, because he really was quite the visionary.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, there's that you question, are we born with it? I think we are born with it. It's instinctual, because we're born with six senses. We're meant to use them. Unfortunately, in our Western culture, we're educated out of it. We're taught not to trust it. We're told that if we can't see it, we shouldn't believe it. The saddest license plate in the 50 states to me is the Missouri license plate that says the Show Me State. It represents to me in our culture that if I can't see it, if I can't measure it on paper, it can't possibly be real. I think we're coming out of that to some degree. I think there's enough consciousness in the world today and enough understanding of different ways of knowing, of coming to information, that people are having more respect for that intuitive part, that hypersensitivity that allows us to access a sense that we were, at least for our generation or our parents' generation, educated out of, taught not to trust.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. So what would you say the difference is between intuition and common sense?
You know, for me, they're totally different things. Common sense is learned, and it requires fully functioning neurology. It requires a brain that is healthy and working well and teaching you cause and effect and teaching you to take an experience and extrapolate it to another or future experience. Intuition, to me, is innate. Both are developed, but I really believe that common sense is much more something that is learned and developed, whereas intuition is innate. Common sense is rational thinking that overcomes emotional impulse. It's decision-making based on logic and deductive reasoning. For me, it's common sense to heed my intuition, because I have learned that my intuition serves me, and ignoring it doesn't, can be very painful. So they're very different, and I also believe, as I said earlier, that innate intuition, stronger in some than in others, is also a component that is critical for our full development as human beings, for our full peace, because without intuition, you cannot have faith. And if you have no faith, it's very difficult to move through the world in with a sense of peace. And I'm not talking about necessarily a religious paradigm or a religious orthodoxy. You can have faith in the divine. You can have faith in yourself. And when you have that faith in self, that trust in self, it's much easier to move forward in the world. And we don't have faith without a sense of intuition, of that gut instinct we were talking about, of being able to believe in something we cannot see or we cannot understand how it might come to pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then, is there a way to develop our intuition?
Absolutely. You know, I teach my students, and you've probably heard me say this ad nauseum, you know, it's like developing any other muscle, okay? So if we were to go to the gym and we wanted to work on our abs or our calf muscles or our biceps or our triceps, we would do certain exercises to focus on those certain muscle groups of our body, and we would know we had to do it consistently. The same thing with your intuition, especially since we've been taught to kind of shut it down, or we've been taught to fear using it. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. And the more consistently you practice using your intuition, the better you learn at identifying what is my true intuition versus what is just a fear or what is just a desire. It's very easy to confuse an emotion with intuition, especially when you're wishful thinking. So the more you use it on a daily basis, the more you practice it in daily life, the better you become at it, and the better you become at recognizing the difference between a spiritual guidance or an intuitive guidance and just emotion of desire or fear.
So, you know, I do agree that we all have this inner knowing, and you know, we do kind of either get those feelings, or sometimes we get that little voice in our head, you know, that says, you know, do this or don't do that. But, you know, how do we, like, know how to trust it? How do we know that it's real?
Really, I go back to practice is perfect. Trust is learned. You don't know that you, that's what trust is all about. You cannot logically know that I can trust it just because. Your trust, ironically, for intuition comes out of years of practice, learning that if you use it often enough, that you find it's been wise to do so. It's led you in the right direction. It's helped you make the right decisions. It's even helped you in a practical sense. Pick the right store, or find the right sale, or buy the right car. Negotiate the right choice in a career opportunity. You've also learned to trust it by not trusting it. I can't tell you how many clients over the years have come to me and said, Amara, you know, I didn't want to listen, or I didn't want to do what you said, so I didn't do it, and I didn't listen to my gut, or, you know, I heard this little voice in my head, I heard your voice in my head, and I ignored it, and I got in trouble. I'm finally going to start to listen, because I know when I don't, I get in trouble. I make mistakes. And I sometimes make decisions based on what I want, and I ignore my intuition, I stuff it down. So you can learn to trust your intuition by simply using it or ignoring it when you find out that ignoring it causes problems. You know, it's kind of like the difference between common sense and intuition is, you know, common sense is something that, is pretty straightforward. It's deductive reasoning. It's the ability of the brain to make connections of cause and effect. You know, intuition is developed through your practice, and your ability to have faith in yourself, to take that leap off the cliff, and trust that, as one person said, you'll be given wings to fly or soft ground to land on. And you can't just simply say, well, I know it'll work for me. You just have to practice it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, practice makes perfect, as we say.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time to take another break. And so we are speaking with Amara about intuition, trusting our intuition, and knowing our intuition. You can learn more about Amara and her services at thewisdomlight.com, and we'll be right back after the break. And I'm talking with Amara about intuition and knowing our intuition and trusting our intuition. We were talking about how do we build that level of trust in knowing or listening to our intuition. And one way to do that is through meditation. Wouldn't you say, Amara?
Absolutely. I think there are three key things, or four key things, really, you can do to develop your intuition. Finding a quiet time, whether it's 5 minutes or an hour, is wonderful if you can do that to empty your mind and just find that inner sense and void your mind of all the inner chatter so that you can see what comes to you. You know, being receptive to intuition is simply, I call it hyper-listening, all right? So if you're a good listener, you've already got an edge. The second thing you can do is work with your dreams, because if you start working with your dreams and you start developing your ability to interpret your own dreams, that muscle, if you will, that you strengthen in your sleeping state to use in your waking state doesn't turn off during the day. It stays stronger. So by working with your dreams is another way to develop your intuition. The third is practice, like I said earlier, listening, hyper-listening, listening to the signs, seeing signs along the way. You know, if you come to an intersection and you're in a hurry to go to work and you see a detour and you start getting mad and you are, I'm going to be late, and you get frustrated, and all of a sudden you start shutting down and you start thinking of what should have been instead of saying, wait a minute. Maybe there's something in this moment that I'm supposed to experience by this detour. And you take a detour, and you turn right, and you follow the detour, and you're listening, and you're paying attention, and you're in the moment, and there's this giant billboard that kind of is a metaphor for the answer you've been asking all week long. So paying attention to the signs in your daily life. You know, I like to tell my students, angels don't come to us at the foot of our bed in a blaze of glory. Most people would faint, or they wouldn't believe they experienced it if that happened. You know? But they like to giggle behind billboards, and they like to giggle behind the lady holding you up in line at the supermarket, and by doing so, you hear the person behind you give a tip or talk about a resource that you've been looking for. So the daily, in the moment, being in the moment is key. And the fourth and last thing is very pragmatic. It's your diet. Garbage in, garbage out. If you're clogging up your body with tobacco and caffeine and alcohol and drugs or, you know, chemicals, what I call pseudo foods, that many people say, oh, I don't do drugs, I don't smoke. Well, but what are you eating? Are you eating packaged, processed, hydrogenated, this, that, and the other thing, chemicalized pseudo food? Or are you eating whole, natural products? And add to another component, humanely treated products. You're going to have a clearer channel, a cleaner channel. All right? So those are four things you can do to help. And if you follow those four things for the next 30 days, I promise you in 30 days, your intuition is going to be heightened and you're going to feel almost magical in the way you're able to hear in a much more sensitive way.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So in my experience, you know, as I've been developing my own intuition over the years through meditation and all those things you just mentioned, I'll never forget that 21-day fast with our Reiki class.
That's why I saved that part for last. I make you go through the whole class before I tell you about it so you don't run.
Yeah, that's such a good idea. But even now, you know, I can think of times when, you know, quote unquote, I know better, but I haven't listened to my intuition. So like something that's really clear for me is, you know, for example, when I was, you know, several years ago when I was looking for a job back in the corporate world, I would get these, you know, little intuitions. This little voice would pop in my head that would say, you know, call this person now or go send a resume here. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't follow up. I would be afraid. I would, you know, I don't know what I was. But so how would you describe that? Is that, you know, obviously it's fear, but is it self-sabotage or?
You know, in a way it's a little of both, you know. Sometimes we could ask ourselves, what are we afraid of if we did that and we were successful? You know, are we afraid? Most people, we say, oh, they're afraid of failure. No, most people are afraid of success. Because with success comes great responsibility. With success comes the loss of all your excuses. With success comes, you know, having to say, wow, I made it here. Now I have to live up to what I've moved into. And so there's an element of that. But I think in most situations like that, it's often our own self-judgment, our fear of what other people are going to say about us. You know, people who ignore their intuition, which would be the majority of the population in the West, it's because of social conditioning. Our values in America and our society and in the West devalue listening to your intuition. So when you're making a business decision or your example of, gee, I got this hit that I should call this person now and I didn't do it, there's that other voice in you that's also saying, well, that's silly. That's not logical. That's not business-like. That's not professional. I need to have a reason to call them at this particular time. I need to have a plan. So all that left-brain stuff that we were taught to follow or use in our careers, in the corporations, in our jobs. But what I would say to you is remember those visionaries who went beyond what was taught. The Steve Jobs of the world and, you know, the Bill Gates of the world and the Walt Disney, oh my gosh, you know, of the world. So you go beyond that and by using it, going back to what I said earlier, if you kind of fight through that fear and you pick up that phone or you send out that resume to that particular person, even though you have no idea why you're doing it, you start to learn over time, wow, that worked. It worked because a result came from it, a positive result came from it. And it's really like behavioral conditioning. You know, when you do get positive reinforcement by doing something that is right, you're going to keep wanting to do it. And you learn that it does work. And then it doesn't matter what other people say because it works for you. But in the process, you become an example for the other people who would also be fearful of following their gut. Because when they ask you, well, how did you know to do this? You say, I don't know. I just had a wild hair. Now, that's part of the problem with why you don't do it or why people don't do it, is they're afraid, well, gosh, if I don't have a justification, if I don't have some logical reason why I called that person or why I picked up the phone or why I sent the resume, how am I going to explain this to people? What are they going to think of me? They're going to think I'm some wacky, crazy, frou-frou person, some new-age psychic person. And we're afraid of what others will think of us. But in doing it, getting rewarded, getting positive reinforcement, becoming successful, you then become an example to others. And they go, how does she do it? And then they find out, and they go, oh, maybe I should pay attention, too. Maybe it's safe. Maybe it's okay for me to listen to my own inner voice. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's that piece about safety and giving yourself permission to trust yourself.
Yes. And I mean, we're actually ridiculed for using our intuition, you know, or psychic abilities to the point of attack. So it's logical that you would want to protect yourself from that and say, oh, I don't want to be part of that. But it may be logical, but it's not beneficial. It doesn't serve you.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. So can you think of any stories for yourself when you have not listened to your intuition?
Yes. And, you know, people say to me, it's so hard. And I say, you know, I empathize. They go, oh, no, you don't. You're psychic. And I, you know, number one, most psychics aren't totally psychic about everything for themselves, you know.
Right.
And number two, even those of us who know better, you know, still face those same challenges. I have three significant experiences where I ignored my intuition based on logic and based on my commitment to other people, and I put those first, and all three occasions ended up in car accidents for me. So one time it was my birthday, it was just a minor little car accident. I said, don't go out today, don't go out today, and I wanted to get out. I was still living in the Malibu area, and I was pulling out of a parking lot, and some guy hit me, and, you know, I had heard that voice, but I ignored it. The next few times were a little more major. It was Labor Day weekend in 1992, and those of you who live in Denver would have seen it on the news. There was a big pileup on I-25 heading south through Monument, and that morning I was heading down to the Balloon Festival in the Springs that many people know about, that big, glorious, gorgeous pre-dawn Balloon Festival, and I had scheduled to meet some dear friends. And I was bringing early morning treats, and I was headed down there, and there was this major multi-truck car pileup, and I was involved in. And I was 5 months pregnant. All morning and that night before, I had this horrible sense I should not be going. I kept hearing this voice go, turn around, turn around, turn around. The other part of me said, you know, I made a promise to these people. We made plans. It would be so disappointing to them. What am I going to say? I'm sorry. I have a feeling I shouldn't come down here, so I'm going to flake on you, you know? So even I go through that questioning of, I don't want to disappoint. The third one was the same thing. I had a sense, don't leave the house today. My daughter was 8 years old. Fortunately, she survived that car accident when I was pregnant. But she was 8 years old, and she had to be at a martial arts class. And we had especially invited a friend of hers to come. So it wasn't just her normal martial arts commitment. It was a special one with a friend who'd been invited as a guest. And I had no rational reason to say to my daughter, you know, we're not going. I'm canceling your plan. I'm canceling the accommodations we made with your friend and her family. And we were rear-ended in a stoplight. Ironically, and here's a message for you, we were the seventh car at a stoplight. Was rear-ended by a bunch of reckless teenagers. So, you know, seven is the number of spiritual mastery. And like, okay, when are you going to listen and practice what you preach? So I try to practice what I preach for the most part, but even I, you know, have had my moments. You know, those accidents kind of did it for me, though. You know, after that, I was like, I don't care who I have to disappoint or what commitments I've made. If I have a message that I'm not supposed to be doing something, I'm not going to do it anymore.
Those are really great stories. And we're going to be taking a break. And Welcome back to Shining Bright with Regina Cisco. So we have been talking about intuition and sharing our stories of listening to our intuition or not listening to our intuition. And we have a caller on the line, Ellen from Denver.
Hello.
Hi, Ellen.
Do you have a story about your intuition you want to share?
I have a question I want to ask. I was curious about what Amara said earlier about confusing intuition with wishful thinking.
Yeah.
Because I think that one happens to me quite a bit.
You know, you're not alone. It's very hard for people to, quote, read for themselves.
Yeah.
For the very reason that am I really getting objective information here, or is this what I wish I were getting or what I'm afraid of getting? It's very hard to read for yourself. And typically, the best way to get information for yourself is not the best way to read for other people. You know, I know a lot of people, they'll pick up tools. They'll pick up tarot, or they'll pick up pendulums. Those are not good tools when you're reading for yourself, because you can influence the outcome of those.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So
right.
I would stay away from tools, and I'd start to learn your own language. You know, what is my language when I'm being warned about something? Is it, you know, the hair on the back of my neck stands up, the hair on my arms? Do I get a nauseous feeling? Do I get a dizzy feeling in my gut? Is there, do I feel woozy? Do I get a headache? Do I get a certain kind of sign? Does a certain bird fly in my path? A certain animal cross my vehicle? Start to learn that when I'm on, when I've been right, when it really was my intuition versus my wishful thinking, there were certain other elements to it in my body and in my, perhaps in my personal circle that gave me an indication this was a real bit of intuition versus wishful thinking. Does that make sense?
I think so. Like, would an example be, I'm kind of a spiritually waking up kind of person, I would say, mm-hmm. sort of emerging from many years of being extremely practical. So, you know, I'm a little bit retarded when it comes to this stuff still. So,
all is in divine order. We all have our own perfect time.
Right? And I do accept that. Like, I really do. But, I just have to know that I've noticed for me that things have to often be sort of a certain kind of resonant sort of way for me to be actually, maybe I should pay attention. So something I've noticed recently is waking up in the morning, but like when you're not quite all the way awake.
Yep.
Absolutely. I'll get really specific thoughts, sometimes even actually a voice, but other times just a concept.
Yeah, and that makes sense, because you're in that, you know, between state of consciousness and reality. And so absolutely, that's a wonderful time to kind of instantly, before you have a chance to let judgment seep in, your first thought, your first instinct, your first voice. For other people, it's water. Taking a shower, taking a bath often is, you know, you'll hear people say, I get my best ideas when I'm in the shower. Well, there's a reason for that. Water is fluidity. It represents intuition. You know, you're kind of relaxed. You're just in the moment. You're not multitasking 50 things with 5 electronic pieces of equipment around you. So absolutely, that's a great way to listen. You know, and there's a tip, too. If you're not sure, ask again. Gee, was that intuition or was that wishful thinking? And then listen to the rest of your week. And maybe you'll get another sign that corroborates what you got in that wakeful moment or that denies it. And then listen again. And I tell people 3 times is a charm. If you get that answer 3 times, you get a sign 3 times in consistency about a certain question or issue in your life, probably right on. You should pay attention to it.
Okay.
I hope that helps.
It does help. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
Thank you.
Give me a call if you'd like to talk to me directly at 303-575-1100.
Thank you so much. Love the show, you guys. Really appreciate you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That was such a great question.
That is a great question. Absolutely.
So, I have another question for you. So, is intuition is really about building our relationship with our higher self, our soul, or our divine presence, correct?
I believe it is. I believe it is when we are operating on all cylinders, which would include intuition, all senses, we then have the ability to be the most fully actualized human being we could be, the most spiritually aware, highly conscious being that we can be. And it is that stairway or that thread of connection to the divine that allows us to embody the divine within ourselves and contribute to the best that we can to live up to our potential that we were, you know, born to live up to. Integrating all aspects of yourself. You know, there's a saying, your talents are God's gift to you. What you do with them is your gift back to God.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So there is a particular quote that I like from Abraham Hicks that always makes me feel better when I feel like I might have screwed up and didn't listen to my intuition. And this is from Esther and Jerry Hicks, who teach about the law of attraction, and they channel a being or group of beings called Abraham. And what they've said is, you will never miss out. Your ship will always come in. And I think, well, yeah, but, you know, I screwed up. I made a bad decision. Oh, no, I've missed out. But they said, no, your ship will always come in. There will always be another and another.
Absolutely.
And another.
You will always be given the opportunity to grow. You will always be given the opportunity to achieve a dream. Now, that dream may change if you don't get on the blue ship and you don't wait for the red ship, and then the red ship comes and you still don't get on. But it'll morph, it'll evolve. But you'll always be given an opportunity to grow. It's never too late. You know, the question really is not, will I be given another opportunity? The question is, do you have the courage to get on board?
Awesome. Awesome. So it's time for us to wrap up, Amara. Is there anything else that you would like to leave us with?
You know, this has been really fun. Thank you so much. And I want to congratulate you again. You know, this whole conversation about intuition and the journey and learning to trust yourself and jump beyond the fear is represented by the very fact we're talking on your radio show. As we began earlier, watching you journey these last 12 or 13 years and helping you through that, it's really rewarding to see you now here. And for the folks to know that Regina's presence on this show represents her walking this very journey that we were just talking about and learning to evolve, develop, and grow with it. So that's exciting. That's fun. And everybody out there can do it for themselves with some guidance, some help, and trust.
Yes. Thank you so much, Amara, for being on the show and for your support and being my first guest on Shining Bright.
Thank you. Many blessings to you and Shining Bright.
Thank you. You can go to Amara's website at thewisdomlight.com for more information. You can contact her by calling 303-575-1100 or email her at amara@thewisdomlight.com.